You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
We consider God's great faithfulness today, in the past, and as we know that He will be faithful into eternity. We're continuing a series today called the Gratitude Challenge. Last week we started it off and we'll finish it up next week, but where we've been challenged to just be grateful, to be grateful for the things that God does in our lives, and specifically last week to look at those things that we might consider ordinary. And to be grateful for those. And so we saw this Hebrew word, ruach, or this Greek word, pneuma. And those mean breath, right? The breath that was breathed into Adam's lungs on his very first day. That breath that is breathed in our lungs on our first day. That breath that gives us life. But that breath isn't just about the life that we live on this earth. That same word, ruach or pneuma, is also translated as the Spirit of God. So not only does God breathe breath into us and give us our physical life, but He also breathes His Spirit into us and gives us new life in Jesus. It was that breath that I got to see breathed into Cooper. Yesterday, as the waters of baptism were poured on him, and as the Word of God spoke to him and gave him new life in the Spirit. But as we're looking for those things, right, as we're looking for those ordinary things, the reason that we need to sometimes look for them is because we don't often see them naturally, because they just seem ordinary. And so what we're reminded of last week and we'll continue to see again this week is that what you look for is what you see. And so we want to be looking for those ways that God is working in our lives. And so whether or not you were challenged to do this last week, whether or not you were here, or whether or not it's just something that happened this week, how many of you were able to give thanks to God in some way last week? Okay, right, lots of hands, great. And if you have not filled, written on one or 27 of those leaves, there are more out there, take one with you. Be reminded of how God has gifted you, like be reminded about what you can be grateful for, because what you look for is what you see, and then bring it back so that we can share that with others. But I'm assuming that those things that you were grateful for throughout the week were good things, right? Like for me, just a couple of the things that I was specifically grateful for were the Northern Lights that the city kid could see from the middle of town and just give praise to God and His beautiful creation. It was beautiful. And those of you who aren't encumbered by lights all around you probably got to see it even better, yeah? Yeah, okay, right? I was also, I'm also thankful this week for warmer weather, right? This time last week, it was not beautiful out, and it is. Yesterday, I was wearing shorts. Today, I'll be wearing shorts. Now, I probably wear shorts longer than I need to, but God, it was just beautiful to bask in that joy of the sunshine. And maybe you had some of those, or maybe there were some other good things that happened in your lives today that you were able, or this week that you were able to give thanks to God for. How many of you were thankful to God for something bad that happened this week? Anything hard? Anything negative? Anything uncomfortable? So what we might see today is that we're called to give thanks even in those circumstances as well. Jesus, as He's teaching His disciples, they're gathered around Him on this mountain or hill, We call it the Sermon on the Mount. But they're gathered around him, and Jesus is teaching them what it means to be blessed in the kingdom of God. And as he's finishing out all of these phrases, he says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Blessed to be persecuted? Blessed to be reviled? Blessed to have evil happen to you? How in the world do we feel blessed in those circumstances? Well, let's take a look at what Jesus actually says, right? "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account," says Jesus. So on the account of Jesus, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So Jesus isn't saying that it's blessed that you're blessed because you're persecuted. Jesus isn't saying you're blessed because people are reviling you or evil things are happening to you. But he's saying that you're blessed because you're connected to Jesus. That's what makes you blessed, that you're brought into his family through that ruach, that pneuma that has been breathed into you, the breath of life, the breath that we got to see again with Cooper yesterday, as that life was breathed into him, right? He is blessed. And as the Spirit works in our lives, as the Spirit connects us to Jesus, we are made his children. But that doesn't promise us an easy life. Actually, it promises us the exact opposite. Jesus says that the world will hate you because it hated me. Right? It hated Jesus. And so as we're connected to Jesus, the world might hate us. So Jesus doesn't say you're blessed because everything great is going to happen here on this earth, but you're blessed because yours is the kingdom of heaven. Because there is an eternal reward waiting for you that will be with you forever, that can never be taken away from you. That is why we are blessed. As the Spirit breathes life into us, he gives us that new identity. A new identity that is called to reflect the light and love of Jesus, even when the world grows dark around us. And we get an incredible picture of that through the Apostle Paul. As he writes this letter to the church in Philippi, and he says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." And as Paul is writing this, can't you just feel the joy in this letter? Right, can't you just feel this overwhelming gratitude that Paul has for life and for these people and for the gospel? And as he's writing this, it just feels like everything is going well. Like that life is good, that as Paul is going around from city to city to city, that the people are taking him in and they're hearing the gospel and they're celebrating this good new news that they never heard before, that Jesus died and rose again for the forgiveness of all of their sins. And as they're bringing Paul in, they're supporting him on his mission and sending him out, and everything is good. Does it feel like that? Well, if it does, that's not what's happening. Right, Paul is actually writing this while in prison. And Paul's in prison for preaching the gospel. And so he's in prison for preaching the gospel, and he's writing this letter to the church in Philippi to continue to preach the gospel. But we notice that Paul doesn't start with this complaint. He doesn't start with this frustration. He doesn't start with this, "Why me?" But he starts with gratitude, because his gratitude isn't rooted in his own comfort. His joy isn't rooted in his own comfort, but it's rooted in the gospel. It's rooted in the kingdom of God. And for Paul, that growth of the kingdom outweighs any personal comfort that might come in his life. He continues in this, in the first chapter of Philippians, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Right? He's saying how great it is, actually, that I've been imprisoned, because it's moving the gospel forward so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard, throughout all of the people who have imprisoned me and who are holding me captive, and all the rest, it's been known that my imprisonment is for Jesus. It is good that I'm in jail, because these people would have never had the opportunity to hear about Jesus without me being in jail. That's what Paul's saying here. Right? For Paul, the kingdom of God is more important. Right? He sees purpose in his discomfort. He sees purpose in his imprisonment. He's not wondering, how do I get out of this? But he's wondering, how might God be glorified in this? And so the question I want to ask you today, as individuals, or as a congregation, are we looking for the advance of the gospel? Are we looking for the growth of the kingdom of God, or are we looking for what might benefit me? What might make me more comfortable? Because again, what you look for is what you see. As we've talked about in, you know, later this afternoon, in a half an hour or so, we're going to celebrate the life and the ministry of Katie Comfort Dog and the Katie Comfort Dog team. And even though the word comfort is in their name, this is not always the most comfortable, or often even the most comfortable ministry to be a part of, because it's taking them outside of their comfort. And so I'd ask Dawn to just take, can you check with your handlers, what were some times where they may have experienced some discomfort in planning and preparing and doing what they've done over these last 9 years? And so one of the handlers, and I'll just read it, said, well, when I got the call about the tragedy in Perry, I knew I had to go. It was early afternoon, the air was cold, and I knew we'd be outside. And did I have other plans? Probably. But we packed the car and headed to Perry, Iowa, determined to arrive in time for the community prayer vigils. And was it an inconvenience? Maybe. But tragedy in a small town touches everyone. Over the years, I've learned that in times like these, it's not about what you say, but it's about showing up. Being present matters more than words ever could. Sharing the love of Jesus was both needed and deeply appreciated that day. And what started as one visit quickly turned into our team saying yes 4 weeks in a row, returning again and again to be the hands and feet of Jesus for a community in pain. And so what I loved about that, there were two phrases that stuck out in that. Did I have other plans? Probably. Was it inconvenient? Maybe. But God was at work. Right? The good news of Jesus for these people who are hurting was more important than my personal comfort. And that's not just for Katie Comfort Dog Team. It's not just for Glory Comfort Dog Team or Nico Comfort Dog Team. It's for all of us, right? To seek the kingdom of God above our own personal comforts. Ever since I've been here, before I got here, but especially in the last couple years, there have been a lot of conversations about finances at Trinity. And two things that I hear often in those conversations is, school is expensive. Childcare is expensive. And the answer is yes. And in our early childhood center, there are 149 children that get to hear about Jesus every single day. They get to be loved. You got to see it. Right? You got to see what it looks like for those men and women. Childcare is not a glamorous job, right? You got to see what it looks like to shine the light of Jesus every single day to those kids. In our school, there are 139 children who every single day get to hear about the love of Jesus, who get to feel the love of Jesus, who get to offer forgiveness and receive forgiveness, who get to pray together, to pray for each other. 288 kids every day who get connected to Jesus. And if you walked the school hallways or if you walked the early childhood center hallways, you'd see a number of children who would have never stepped foot inside this building had it not been for the early childhood center or the school. But more importantly, you'll see a number of kids who would never have stepped foot inside any church, would have never had the opportunity to hear about the good news of Jesus had it not been for the early childhood center or the school. And is that sometimes uncomfortable to support? Is it sometimes inconvenient to support, especially if you don't have any children or any grandchildren who benefit from the church or the school, and so there's no physical benefit to you right now? Yes, it might be. But again, what if as a congregation we look less to our own comfort and more to the growth of the kingdom? Now, someday if you're really, really bored and you want to go back and read the very first LCMS synodical convention proceedings, first of all, you're going to need to learn German because it's all written in German. But second, if you want to go back and read that convention, one of the things that you'll find in there is that it was an expectation that every church has a school in the LCMS. And the assumption was that there would be no tuition in that school. Because from the very beginning, the mission of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod was to educate children, not just in their alphabet or in their math, but to educate them in the love of Jesus. And to connect those families to Jesus, because that's how the kingdom grows. Now, to be fair, in the very first synodical convention, the understanding of a church and a school was a one-room schoolhouse with one teacher. Has education gotten more expensive since then? Yes. And has the need become greater since then? Yes. I dare you to put 139 kids in a room with one teacher. Right? But that's what God has given us the ability to do. Not with one teacher, but with many to reflect the light and love of Jesus, even if it doesn't personally affect me, you, or your children, or your grandchildren. It grows the kingdom of God. And so my question for you today to consider is, where is God calling you? Where is God calling you to support the growth of His kingdom over your comfort? And what would it happen? What would happen if our entire congregation or this entire community looked first to the kingdom of God over our own personal comfort? Because what you look for is what you see. And when you look through the eyes of the Spirit, you see first the kingdom of God. You see His will. And you see that even in discomfort, even in hardships, even when there's absolutely no benefit to me or to you as an individual, that God can use all of that for His glory and for the growth of His kingdom. Amen? Amen.